The Volume.
Boxing with Chris Mannix is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win.
This is Boxing with Chris Mannix.
Oh, somebody punch him in the face.
Anthony Joshua is a composed and ferocious finisher. Watch this.
Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
Hosted by SI's Chris Mannix.
That was my moment.
Now with interviews, analysis, and everything going on in the world of boxing.
When you have talent, you are given another chance.
Here's Chris Mannix.
All right, joining me this week, one of my favorite people in boxing. He is the former heavyweight title challenger, radio personality. You can hear him at The Fights, which airs every Monday and Friday on the SiriusXM Fight Nation channel. He is the great Jerry Cooney. How are you, Jerry?
Old and cranky.
Cranky.
No, everything is, I said old and cranky. No, I'm great. You know, I'm so grateful. I'm in the business I love. I get to come on, do radio. I got a radio face now, so I can do the radio. It's all beautiful. And listen, I break down the fights. I tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't like it, maybe some of them, but I tell the truth. I mean, how can you have like a guy like Joshua? He's a heavyweight champion, three belts. He's fighting Usyk, a faster guy, good, talented boxer, and try and outbox him. You gotta after the seventh or eighth round, you gotta say, well, it's not working. Forget the plan. Go fight him. Mm-hmm. It's a heavyweight champ of the world. Can you believe that? I can't believe it. I was like shocked.
And no,
if he got to Usyk's body, he could have taken him out of that. Believe that.
I agree. That was the second time in four fights where I've seen Anthony Joshua not use his physical tools in the way that other big heavyweights have, especially in recent memory. Vladimir Klitschko, Lennox Lewis, and even Tyson Fury, I think, operates as one of the smarter big men in the game, where he leans on you. He uses every inch of that 6'9" frame and every pound in the 250 plus, whatever he's carrying at that time.
Yeah, but you know, look, Chris, let me tell you, he makes the guys box him. You fight Tyson Fury, it's not like maybe I'm going to get to the body this round. I got to get into the body and land one or two. The next time, land one or two. The hands will come down. There's other things to do than box a great boxer. That's what Usyk did to Joshua. You can't do it. You got to do something different. And if you have no corner telling you that, that's pathetic at this level of the game.
I agree. I couldn't agree more with that assessment. How often, Jerry, when you watch today's heavyweights, do you wonder how you would have fared against said heavyweight?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I love to fight. You know, I made mistakes. I was drinking and partying in my heyday. The night I knocked out Norton, did I know my career ended that night? Had I had someone to grab me by the arm and say, Cooney, I don't know if I got too scared of the success or, you know, from my upbringing or whatever it was. Had I had somebody that said, come on, Cooney, it's important now, I could have done some great things. Had I got a rematch with Holmes right away, I learned so much that night in fighting Holmes. I could have taken that into the second fight. It could have been different. But this is the life. Well, so what happened? So I saved my money. I saved my brains. Have a great life today. And it wasn't meant to be. I could be walking around on my heels today. It didn't happen for me. I wanted to have more fights. King wouldn't give me anybody. That's just the way it turned out. So it saved me in the end. Mm-hmm. But I would have liked to have had a better shot at it. You know,
yeah,
I had President Reagan's a phone line to my training, to my locker room, and I didn't get the call.
You know, the Norton fight, you know, I would say your biggest win, 54 seconds, you knock out Ken Norton, you headline Madison Square Garden for the first time. What do you remember about kind of that experience, you know, walking into that building, fighting that guy and fighting the way you did?
You know, listen, when I went to the Garden, when you hear the roar of the crowd in the dressing room, you take that walk and your life passes before you. And when you get to hear the roar of the crowd, you become magical. And I didn't know it at the time, but if you back Norton up, he can't fight. Just like Wilder. You know, when Fury got off the canvas, he got up and walked Wilder down. Wilder couldn't fight. That's what happened with Norton and I backed him up. I hit him with a right hand. I turned him over. But what I really needed between Norton and Holmes was three or four fights. Mm. Don King wouldn't give me nobody because I wouldn't sign with him.
Mm. What did you expect? I mean, when at what point during that Norton fight did you think, well, this is going to be my night?
I thought I'm for hell tonight. This guy's going to beat my ass. But I knew that, I remember thinking about when I came back from Europe and I was fighting the Russian heavyweight team in the Garden. And I thought to myself, I just got to hit him, let him feel my power. And I hit him with a chin and knocked him out. And that's what I did with Norton. I bent down, I hit him with the right hand to the body and he buckled. And I thought to myself, what? That felt good. Let me take a shot. Let me take a shot here. And I caught him on the rope. When I caught up with his timing, I hit him with an uppercut. It was all over. They could have stopped that in 40 seconds.
It's funny you say that, Jerry. It's tough to watch in a way because the referee should have stepped in there probably 5 seconds before he did. I mean, not your fault. You're the boxer. Norton was done.
I came around to my right. I looked at him, but he wasn't saying nothing. And it did feel pretty good. So I came back. Mm-hmm. And thank God they stopped it when they did, because on the back page of on the front page of all the news in New York, it said 4 punches from death. I believe that's true.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's probably true as well, the way that that fight ended. When did you first know you could punch?
I didn't know. I never really knew I was such a big puncher till after my career was over. Like, I didn't know how, I had listened to George Foreman tell David Letterman. Letterman said, hey, who's the biggest punch you ever fought? He said, Jerry Cooney. That was amazing to me. But after I finished fighting, I realized how many broken ribs I gave people, how many broken orbital pits, how many broken noses. I did it, and I didn't know my own strength. And I just realized after the game is over that professional athletes are just stronger than the regular Joe. Mm-hmm. They're just stronger.
You said just a minute ago that your career ended after the Norton fight. Yeah. Why do you feel that?
Because that was the night that I started to party. I felt like either I deserved it or I was scared who I was becoming. Because I grew up with, you're no good, you're a failure, you're not going to amount to anything. So, these things were happening to me. It was like, I couldn't believe it. And that night, I think I got scared. Or if I thought, well, let me drink. And if I lose, then I can blame it on that. Mm. It's terrible, terrible thinking what you do when you grow up in a household like that. And I wished the life of me I had somebody who would have said, come on, kid, let's go. Let's take a shot here. Let's pay attention. This is important now. I told Riddick Bowe years ago, listen, 5 years, pay attention. Pay attention. He didn't. And look what happened. So, we all make mistakes. I did. Hopefully one day I'll be able to touch that one kid and I can take him, let him go the distance.
You after the Norton fight, you're white hot at that point, but it's about 13 months before you face. Yeah. What went on in that time?
I should have fought 3 times. Mm. King kept me out because I wouldn't sign with him. My managers, they didn't want me to fight anybody else. They wanted the big payday. And I'm the guy in the middle. I got 2 managers that can't stand each other, and I'm in the middle all the time. And then I got Don King over that can't stand him, and I'm the guy catching lousy press. Because I'm not fighting, but it wasn't me. I wanted to fight. I wanted to be the best I could when I get in with Holmes. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be better than I was, and I found out after the fight was over, last year Holmes told me he never drank, never smoked, never took a drug his whole career. Mm-hmm. I started drinking at 12. So I didn't know if you don't take care of your car, you don't change the oil, you don't change the transmission fluid, you don't check the tires, it's not going to run forever. So I fell prey to that. And it's happened in the past. I've seen it. I've watched it. And I got caught up in it without even realizing it.
For people, Jerry, that don't understand the power that Don King held in the 1980s, how would you describe it?
He owned everybody. He owned everybody, and he robbed. I shouldn't say it, but he really played the game. He held all the cards. I remember hearing the story. He went to Greg Page's father was in the hospital, telling him, "You got to get your kid to sign with me." His father was dying on his deathbed. How do you those things like that? So, but anyway, you know, it's that was boxing at the time. It's better now. I'm sure it's not great now either, but it's better, way better than it was. I feel excited about that. And I tell everybody, when you sign a contract, take it to the commission, get them to read it for you. Tell them what you're doing, because kids don't do it. They think it's going to be fun. I signed a 16-year contract. Little did I know, I never asked the question because I thought that was normal. Mm. How you like that?
Yeah. Like it's.
I pray that they don't do it anymore.
Mm. You know, it's funny. The guy you fought, Larry Holmes, once told me, to your point about taking it to the commission, he once told me that every time Don called and said, this is the amount of money on the table, he would turn and call whoever it was, HBO at that time, and double check, basically, if that was what it was. And your great friend and mine, Rich O'Brien, had a great line about Larry Holmes once where he said, that's the reason that Larry Holmes is working in the Larry Holmes office in the Larry Holmes building on Larry Holmes Drive
right.
in Easton, Pennsylvania. He was always sure to make sure he wasn't getting ripped off.
Well, and my solution was I had two managers that didn't like each other. So I had one watch the other. But then in the big fight, they just got into bed together. Mm. So I did the best I could. You know, man, we did the best we could. And I turned out okay. I got most of my marbles unless you talk to my wife. And I'm helping people every day of my life. I haven't had a drink in 33 years and a half years. And life is really great for me, bro. Very good.
How much would you have benefited from one or two fights between before the Holmes fight?
What do you think?
I'm guessing a lot. I'm just wondering how, you know.
The experience, the different looks, the, you know, being in front of the crowd instead of 13 months later. It could have been a lot of difference. But, I mean, I was still not taking care of myself so good. So, you know, it happened the way it turned out. You know, perfect case scenario. Yeah, I wish I would have had two more fights and learned, you know, learn more about myself and how to adapt, how to make those changes, how to adjust, you know, how to look. You know, I loved watching the expression on the guy's face when I landed a body shot. You could see the fight leaving him. Mm-hmm. Those were the days, but they only last a moment. Those world-class moments, they don't last that long.
In your day, you landed some savage body shots. Just watching back your old clips.
I loved the body. And I became a body puncher because I saw my brother in a bar when I was 17. Somebody pushed him. They went outside. The guy was about 6'9". My brother hit him with a left hook to the body and a right hand to the jaw, knocked him out cold, and knocked the wind out of him. And that's how I became a body puncher.
Why do you think today's fighters don't embrace that? I mean, Canelo, I see as a great body puncher. Handful of others.
Well,
Ryan Garcia is becoming one.
You know, I'll tell you why. Because in the amateurs, you didn't score more points, really, basically, for body shots. So they stopped doing it. And then all the great trainers passed. And so the new young kids were teaching a new version of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so much. I would take Joshua and turn him around. I could take Wilder, turn him around. But you don't get the chance. You just don't get the chance. And it's simple. I mean, it's simple. I got to get from A to B and then to C. It's not like maybe. This is your job. This is the heavyweight championship of the world is on the line. You got to go. And if the 9th and 10th round come around and they ain't working out so good, change it. His corner said, well, you know, he was doing okay. I mean, you know, it was like, what? It's the heavyweight championship of the world.
It's true. Larry Holmes is correctly viewed as an all-time great. You fought him at his peak, in his prime, Larry Holmes. What was it like to fight prime Larry Holmes?
Well, it was 115 degrees. He was patient. He waited. He was smart. I mean, I landed my good shots. I ran some good stuff. He would wait. And then when I threw 6 or 7 punches, he'd land on one or two. So he had experience that I never saw. He worked with Ali all those years. Mm-hmm. And I love that guy today. And he didn't get the credit, really, that he deserves, which he really, you know, didn't have the personality like Ali did. But he was as good a fighter. He was a beast. And so he was patient. He waited, you know, I learned so much that night losing to him. I would have loved to fight him again. As a matter of fact, a few years ago, there was talks we were going to go around and be like a goodwill ambassadorship and go around to different states and do an exhibition. I thought that would be great, but you know, it didn't turn out, and now I'm old.
I remember that.
Now I'm old.
2019, even, you were discussing some kind of exhibition match there.
It would have been fun.
You know, it's funny, as you say, you and Larry are great friends now. The build-up to that fight, it was a lot of racial undertones.
There was.
And I know you didn't like that at all.
Well, he didn't and I didn't, but I thought it was him. And he thought it was, I don't know who he thought it was, but I didn't like it. It was probably Don King creating atmosphere of hostility to make money. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the big thing was I was so mad going into that fight because of that. And then we get up into the ring. I can't wait to hit him. And he looks at me, he says, "Jerry, let's have a good fight." I said, "What'd you say that for?"
You know, so, disarmed you?
Yeah, disarmed me somewhat. You know what I mean? But hey, listen, boxing is chess too. You know what I mean? Boxing is a chess match. You looking for the openings, you're setting it up. He was great at that too. Mm-hmm. I love to get to the body. Once I got to the body and those hands started coming down, I turned it over the top. And I had some good opportunities. I landed some good shots. It's just that, you know, experience. There's nothing like experience.
To go back to the buildup for a second, like, I mean, it was nasty. Like there was like the Klan was kind of like getting involved on the outside, like, you know, commenting on it. Like it got to be a real, like, what was the darkest part of it in your mind?
Well, the whole thing, Chris, I want to tell you is that I had 6 or 7 guys I grew up with in high school, and they came out to Vegas with me. So we were eating lobster tail and turtle soup. We didn't have no racism in our camp. A couple of times I crossed paths with some of Holmes's entourage. They were pretty shitty. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I said, lobster tail and turtle soup. We were living the dream. I'm in Vegas. You know, I got the President Reagan's phone call. I'm at a party from Frank Sinatra. I met Bob Hope. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Muhammad. I mean, I met everybody at a party for me and Holmes. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have no racism. Listen, I love it. You racist, I don't like you. Mm-hmm. I love everybody. I had this nice black dude around here. He's a good friend of mine. And he was talking a little bit. I said, "Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not prejudiced. I don't want to go there. I want to hear it." And that's all. Listen, mm-hmm. This is a tough world we live in. The world is messed up. But boxing is great, Chris. Boxing is great, and you know it. I've seen you grow up too in this business, and it's a lot of fun to watch you.
I appreciate it. It is a lot of fun to be involved in it. And look, that fight with Holmes was stopped in the 13th round. After the 13th round,
I can't remember.
Landed some bombs on him, especially body shots. I mean, when you're landing those punches and he's able to take them, like, what's going through your mind?
Well, he was smart, man. He was when I was coming with those body shots, he was putting his hand behind my head and pulling me down a little bit, took a little power off it, and made a couple of them go blow, which took away 3 points from me. That took away that with no experience, I thought I can't win now. I can't win. Instead of going out there, so I mean, he was very smart. He knew how to take the power out of the shots. I did land punch. He said one time. At the end of it, he said, "Thank God I hit him at the end of the round." He grabbed the ring rope and walked back to the corner. Mm-hmm. But he was smart. You couldn't tell. He was like, he was a con guy in there. He was pretty bright guy in there. It was very much fun fighting with that guy, you know, going to school through him.
And he got the stoppage at the end. But I think if you didn't get deducted those points, you would have been up on the scorecards.
Well, I mean, it was a close fight and, it was a close fight. And, I had a great 10th round. I started to get tired, 120 degrees out there that night and lack of experience, like I said, after the fact, I learned so much about breathing and taking care of yourself. And I didn't have that experience. I wasn't gifted. I wasn't given with that. I wasn't given it. And so it was a lesson learned, you know. Mm-hmm. My kids can fight. I get so many things I can do. I have a daughter that's 20 years old that can fight like me as a puncher. My son is 23. He can fight like me. He's a puncher. These are the gifts I get to spend my years in the gym with my kids who want to fight, who mm-hmm. want to learn how to fight. I don't want them to fight. I don't think they're going to fight. They're very bright kids. But those are the gifts that we're given.
You get through that fight and it's an entertaining fight. It's a financially successful fight.
Yeah.
Are you thinking immediately afterwards that there's going to be a rematch?
No, there was no talks of it. Listen, I hated my management. I hated them. I hated Don King. I hated the whole year and a half waiting for it. It wasn't like you fight the next best guy. It was all bull. It was a game. And I had to live at it. And I had to take the press writing about that. And I'm saying, what are you talking about? It's got nothing to do with me. And that I was like so disappointed, and I wasn't planning on losing. I kind of disappeared for it. I remember HBO did a special, and the opening song was, I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round. Wow. And I had nobody to help, you know, bring me back. I still had a lot of fight in me.
Mm-hmm. After that fight, I mean, are you looking to get, I mean, you had to take some time off. You had some very low level fights in between that fight and the Spinks fight. What's going on in your life during those years?
You know, I put down alcohol April 21st, 1988. Up to that point, I was going crazy. I was wild, traveling all over the place.
And you had a lot of money at that point, Jerry. I think you got paid the most for any title challenger ever up until that point. What, $10 million or something?
I still do. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying. At that, hey, for a guy in his 20s there, I mean, it's nice to have $10 million.
Yeah, but you know what, Chris? I always knew the rainy day was coming. I knew there was going to be a rainy day. I've seen it all my life. And I took care of it. I put it away safe. And so, you know, I have these two hungry managers looking to make money. And so every once in a while, I'd be away for a while. I'd say, what am I doing with my life? I'm not doing anything. I'd take another fight. And then I'd hear the same stuff all over again. Then I'd disappear. Anyway, it was just a very disappointing. But looking back overall, it was what I needed to do to get to here where I am today, alive, and great family, three great kids, beautiful wife. And, I'm in boxing. Mm-hmm. I'm in boxing.
When you look at the last two fights of your career with Spinks and Foreman, mm-hmm. which one of them, I don't know, is maybe more disappointed? Is one more than the other?
Yeah, well, listen, you know, Spinks don't ever beat me in the ring.
Yeah.
If I'm Jerry Cooney, mm-hmm. I was drinking up to the fight,
You look, just watching YouTube clips, like the guy I saw, Norton, and then Holmes, you look like a different guy.
Life got to me. Life got to me. And I was a walking dead man in there that night. Mm. I eat him alive any day of the week, that guy, I eat him. I cut him. He had a pretty big cut on his face. I eat that up. Mm-hmm. George Foreman, I was promoting some of his fights. It was a lot of fun. And one day he asked me, would you like to fight with me? And I thought to myself, well, you know, I never did this really sober before. Why don't I take this? I got a shot to beat this guy. And I got in shape. It was a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I took the fight. And I'm going into the fight. I'm going to have a great time. Mm-hmm. And Clancy wanted me to move for 6, 7, 8 rounds. Don't get into a slug fight with him. But I hit him with a hook on the chin, and I hit him with a body shot, and I felt it. And I saw it first round.
You heard him.
And
I
saw
round.
It. And I went after him. And, you know, he had a bunch of fights, you know, leading up to that. Not the greatest of fights, but he was busy doing a lot of stuff every 3 weeks or whatever he was doing. And so I got caught with a shot, but it helped me finally, Chris, turn the page in my life. Mm. I answered the question. I did it sober. I got in good shape. I felt good about myself, and I lost. So I turned the page and got all my life. And it's been wonderful ever since.
With big fights every week, there's never been a better time to give FanDuel Sportsbook a shot and join the action on FanDuel Fight Nights. Because right now, you can place your first bet risk-free. That's right. You'll get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. FanDuel gives you so many bets to choose from. There are parlays, round props, method of victory bets, and so much more. My sneaky fight to watch this weekend, Jaron Boots Ennis against Thomas Delorme. Ennis, the promising prospect, a lot of potential, a lot of power. Delorme, savvy veteran, but a lot of power. I like that fight to end inside the distance. Offers like this are just one of the many reasons I love betting on FanDuel. It is the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use. There are safe and secure payouts. There are fast payouts, even better. The app, very easy to operate. And when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. With FanDuel in your corner, you'll always get exclusive odd boosts, great promotions, and so much more to make your FanDuel fight night even more exciting. That's why they're America's number one sportsbook. Sign up with the promo code BOXING to bet risk-free up to $1,000 on FanDuel Sportsbook. Download FanDuel today. That's promo code BOXING. You hit hard, but tell me how hard Foreman hits, or at least hit against you.
I caught with an uppercut. Yeah. You know, I after the fight, I didn't realize that, you know, I needed to keep this hand down here when I was coming down to throw the hook or left hook to the body, and I didn't. And he caught that. He was a smart guy and caught me with an uppercut, rocked me. Mm-hmm. And so that's what happens. But like I said, looking back on the whole story, Jerry Cooney's living large right now. I've got a great mm-hmm. life. I have great friends, and I'm in the fight game, and I'm enjoying it. I'm teaching it sometimes. Nothing like helping somebody. Like, I think about this story. I had this guy who was an accountant, and I met him at Yankee Stadium. He wanted me to train him. He was bullied all his life, right? So he's a little guy, and I trained him for a year and a half. He's like a monster. He's like, he has confidence about himself. He believes in himself. That's a gift. And I've mm-hmm. seen that thousands of times in my life. I've been able to do that. And I also go with orphan kids and hang around with kids that are struggling and teach them about themselves and how to love themselves and to grow up and to let go of the anger, because it's going too fast. Time.
Mm-hmm. When you've obviously done well since your fighting career, as we've discussed here, if you could go back in those years in the 1980s and do anything differently, what would it be?
Well, you know, listen, I'm going to tell you something, right? You said it. I'm doing all right. I love playing Jerry Cooney. I get to go and travel the country and the world and play Jerry Cooney. And I come home, my wife has the garbage by the back door for me, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the greatest thing in the world. And I love it. And I love people. So it fits, it's a great fit. What would I have liked to have done different? I would have liked to have had somebody that understood about the game. Wasn't looking to make the dollar. Was looking to make somebody successful. And not, when I say successful, I don't mean monetarily. I mean, you know, be the best you can be. Mm-hmm. Be the best you can be. I wasn't in there a few fights, and I do regret it, but it also saved my life.
Mm. In what way?
I didn't take those shots that, mm-hmm. you know, those other guys do that we see so much and we talk to so much and we try to help out so much. And those guys, they don't have the life I have, mm-hmm. you know, they didn't have somebody. I didn't have somebody really care for me, except my trainer, Victor Valley did. But, the lore of this fight game is that take one more fight. Mm-hmm. The roar of the crowd is hard to get away from. When I walk out of the dressing room and you come to the stadium and there's cheering, there's nothing like it.
Mm-hmm. What was the moments like that? What's the one you'll always remember? Kind of that walking out of that dressing room, hearing the crowd. What's the one that you'll always remember?
All of them. And I loved the Ron Lyle one in the Coliseum. I fought in the Garden in Long yep. Island. Jimmy Young was a phenomenal one in Atlantic City. And obviously, you know, every fight has something. I remember every second of every fight, what was going on in that moment. Mm-hmm. And what I was trying to accomplish and how I was trying to find it, make it happen and find the opening and get to here and see what happens. And look, I try and teach that today. People know 1, 2, 3, jab, right hand, left hook. That's nothing part of it. It's no part of the game. I tell parents when they tell me, what about my kid? I said, take him to a gym, watch the guy who's teaching defense. Anybody can punch. Get the guy who's going to teach you how to stand right and be defensive. Mm-hmm. The guy would say, stink yesterday, stink tomorrow, but stick around to stink another day. That was an old fight guy used to say that all the time.
You know, to go back to the Foreman fight for a second, yeah. I was surprised as I kind of studied up on it a little bit. Like, how many people were kind of against it? I mean, it was called what, Geezer at the Caesars? Or like, you were getting killed for it. You were only 33 years old at that point.
I was having fun. They were picking on him. Yeah. And I was included in that. And I, you know what? We learn. You got to get a hard skin. And I learned that, really. I mean, Michael Katz, I finally had a conversation with him 30 years later at the Hawks and Hall of Fame when he was being inducted about how wrong he was. And he owned up to it. But, you know, that's, unfortunately, they got the pen. You know what I mean? They got the pen. And so, anyway, it is what it is. You know, we love people. People love us. They don't love us. It's just a fight, right? And so, listen, I'm with you, bro. I'm sitting here smiling doing your show. I'm doing your show right now, bro.
Last thing for you, Jerry. If you could have gotten the rematch with Holmes,
I would have loved that fight with Holmes. I would have beat him. I'll tell you right now, I would have beat him if I had the shot to fight Holmes again. Man, I was ready, bro. I had learned that guy was good, and I learned so much that night. That's the problem. And I don't know why they didn't have a rematch. It merited a rematch. We went 13 rounds. I saw Ryan O'Neal stand up to the 10th round and go, Cooney! That was a great round, by the way, the 10th round. Sometimes I go to the Garden, and when they introduce me at the Garden, they play that 10th round. I still get goosebumps.
So you think you would have won the rematch? You think you learned enough?
Oh, it's great. It was great. I'm going to tell you something. I'm a very good teacher of the game right now. I know it. I've seen it. I've watched it. I've talked about it. It's a very simple game, but you have to perform at a level that merits you survival. Mm. I tell people all the time, you know, listen, this is a hard game. This is, you know, you're taking, it's like a shock absorber. You only get so many shots. And then the shock absorber don't work no more. In the car, you change the shock absorber. We can't change it. Mm-hmm. There's no tough guys in boxing. There's no tough guys. There's smart guys. And even those guys struggle sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Would Jerry Cooney fighting today?
I would love to fight today.
And why?
Because I can fight. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, me who I am today, if I was a young kid, clean, had some edge, somebody, you know, teach me something. Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on. This is A to B to C to A. You know what I mean? It's like, it's simple. I was born with a gift. At 16 years old, I won the middleweight championship. I had 7 fights, 5 knockouts. I was 6'4", 160 pounds. I had to lose 8 pounds the night before. I could fight. I could punch. And I didn't even know it. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know it. Give it to me today, baby. Give me a shot today. Listen, it's all good. I love the game. I love all the fighters. Think about Errol Spence Crawford. I can't wait to see Shawnee Porter, Terrence Crawford, mm-hmm. Beterbiev against Bivol, Smith. You know, there's so many great fights out there in the lightweight division. Teofimo Lopez fighting Josh Taylor. Can you believe that?
Josh Taylor, yeah.
Ramirez. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff in boxing today you guys are going to experience. And me too.
It does seem, Jerry, and you know, maybe you have a different perspective, but like, as I watch today's fighters, they seem far less interested in legacy at this point. Like, it's whatever happened in the last 20 years that made protecting that zero the most important thing has caused boxing to be diminished. Whereas I don't believe it was the same attitude in fighters 70s, 80s, even early 90s.
Well, that's probably true, but it's coming to that now here. People are getting it. It's not because I lose a fight. That just gives me my experience and want me to fight more, wants me to fight better. And that's coming around. The fight game is great today. Great today. Mm-hmm. You know, it's coming back strong. I love this game. And think about the heavyweight division that's forming right now. And I'm going to tell you something. I was embarrassed for Anthony Joshua. You got to be kidding me. You're the heavyweight champ of the world. That's how you're going to fight? That's how you're going to go out? and say it's okay. It's not okay. You have the heavyweight championship of the world. You fight with your life. I wish he had someone to teach him because I love him as a guy. He's a great guy. But that's how it will be.
Jerry, I always love talking to you, man. I love listening to your show on SiriusXM. I love appearing on your show every so often. Thanks for taking some time to join me here on my show.
Chris, I had a great time. Thank you, guys, all right?